Thanks, Deborah. She's a hard taskmaster, and I've been given exactly 12 minutes to run over the epidemiology of hepatitis C with relevance and pointing out, teeing up for the people who are going to follow me. So if I talk quick, please understand I can't possibly cover everything we need to cover. chronic hepatitis C, I hope this is a good moment for us to reflect that hepatitis C is considered by Dr. Harold Koh, our current Secretary for Health for the United States, to be the secret epidemic. Sometimes he calls it the silent epidemic. It's underappreciated because people understand that there have been declines in hepatitis C. There are a number of other reasons, including the long incubation period of the disease. But the fact remains that we think we have over 3 million people in the United States with hepatitis C. The 20 to 40 years period incubation between infection and detected disease has kind of hidden this epidemic. We are now beginning to see a very rapid increase in the number of chronic liver disease cases and deaths from hepatitis C. And it's particularly a problem for the baby boom generation as it ages. And Bryce will be commenting on that. I want to share with you an analysis that's not yet published, but gives you some idea of what we're looking at. If you look at the hepatitis C rates here, you can see that they've been increasing markedly over just a few years between 2004 and 2007, at least according to death certificate registry data, national death certificate data. Just for your own, how do I go back? There we go. Got it. Okay. So just for your for comparison, there were only 12,600 deaths from HIV/AIDS in 2007. So this is what we're looking at. And even the most conservative estimates, these are estimating deaths from liver disease, estimate that we'll be seeing 38,000 deaths from HCV-related liver disease by 2025. So let me point out that there is also a huge problem in our national surveillance for this, for both acute and chronic hepatitis. Most reports that we get in Atlanta are of single HCV antibody test result. An HCV antibody positive test result does not tell you whether it's acute, whether it's chronic, or whether it's one of the 20% of people who get an acute infection and resolve their infection and no longer go on to be chronic. So it's really, really a problem. All states are required to report acute HCV infections, but in fact, we give them no money to do so. And the reporting sites are overwhelmed by the numbers of chronic cases. It is a huge problem. For example, with hepatitis C, it looks like you have to go on average through four documents, phone calls, or some kinds of contacts, on average four, and many times more, to deduplicate, to make sure that you're not getting multiple reports of the same case from various different positive laboratory results. And it's just an enormous burden on our state and local partners. I'm going to talk quickly about the epidemiology of acute hepatitis C now. As you can see, the incidence of acute hepatitis C has declined year by year for reasons that are not always clear. When we look at this decline, broken down by age group and even by race ethnicity, we see declines in hepatitis C all the way through. We started screening the blood supply in 1992, but this factor does not adequately explain the drop in HCV incidence. And if you want to look, well, I guess that the chart only starts at 1992. But the point is that we started seeing a decrement in our incidence before that year. As I've mentioned, unlike HIV/AIDS surveillance, unlike cancer surveillance, even like surveillance for diabetes, obesity, chronic renal disease, our activity is essentially unfunded. However, over the years, we have been able to get some funding for several specially funded sites. This could have been known as Sentinel Surveillance or our Emerging Infection Program sites. And they allow us some better insight into what's going on. looking at the Sentinel County's data over a long period of time, it's pretty clear that injection drug use accounts for at least half of the cases that occurred. Since it started in 1994, there were a few cases of blood transfusion related acute hepatitis C. When you look at those who say they have no risk factor, 14% reported prior injecting or non-injection drug use. So we think that many of these people are in fact still active IDUs. And then I really hate this pie diagram. We don't think that normal gay or straight sexual relations between people actually transmit hepatitis C. If it does, it does so very rarely. The exception is those who are HIV infected may transmit sexually, but we think it's a very rare event. But because of the way our reporting form goes, a lot of these people reported HCV positive sex partners, et cetera, et cetera. Some of these also, the sex with an HCV infected partner correlates very strongly with injection drug use oneself. So we really think, as I hope you're seeing, that injection drug use, we think, is the real big problem here related to acute hepatitis C. Now, I want to point out some other emerging risk factors. When I came a few years ago, we had these outbreaks occurring in health facilities, particularly colonoscopy clinics in Nevada that got a lot of national attention. And as it turned out, I said, well, how often are we seeing this? And without breaking a sweat, we've seen at least 20 outbreaks that come to our attention. If you knew how infrequently, how unlikely it is that something would come to the attention of local and state and federal health authorities, be investigated, and actually make it to this list, you would realize, oh my gosh, this is the tip of an iceberg. We've seen these outbreaks in colonoscopy and other clinics. We've seen them in alternate care clinics, a couple of chelation therapy clinics in Florida. In fact, they're under investigation even as we speak. Dialysis units, of course, everyone knows they've always had a problem with Hep B and Hep C. So I think that the point here is that IDU is the main driver of the HCV epidemic in the United States. Some unknown proportion of HCV infections are acquired in healthcare settings. HCV and HIV infected men is an emerging, if still small, contributor to overall incidence. And I believe Aaliyah will be touching on that issue in his talk. So I want to talk now about, focus a bit more on IDUs, give you a background for Iyasu's talk. We've done a number of studies at CDC called the Collaborative Injection Drug User Studies from 1994 to 2004. And just the point of this complicated slide is just to remind you that as we look at infection rates, they seem to be lower over that 10-year period. They seem to have be much lower with each phase, with each iteration of the CITES studies in the cities in which we were looking. And as kind of a background, if one goes and looks at what we understand about prevalence of hepatitis C in the past in IDUs, the typical statement is it's somewhere between 30% and 90% of IDUs are HIV infected. I would say it's more likely related to the age group one's looking at. If one pulls in older age groups, you'll get a higher prevalence. But in general, most of these studies, and here, this is also an older age group, but most of these studies looking at people under the age of 30 find a prevalence somewhere around 30-33%. But unfortunately, as we've been finding out this past month, Massachusetts is currently looking at a very worrisome trend. This is, again, your hepatitis C antibody positive test results. Here they are in 2002, and you can see that in general, yeah, it's the age group 46, you know, 41 to 56. Yeah, it's mainly the baby boomers. It's mainly representing chronic infections. By 2008, they're looking at their age distribution curve, and it's much there's a huge peak here among much younger people. And these people are under the age of 26, so some of these, some large portion of these are acute infections. And in fact, as we were discussing last week with Ohio, they're noticing the same trend, which is we're seeing a lot of infected IDUs who are young, aged between 20 and 29. They are not minority, they are white. They are living in non-urban, suburban, and rural areas. We're looking into this, but this is a very worrisome trend and something that we need to be concerned about. So here's some topics for thought. Why have HCV infections and IDUs dropped? Is it a shrinking pool of infected injection drug users? Decreases in needle sharing? Fewer IDUs? Secondary benefit of HIV/AIDS knowledge and prevention. IDUs are not necessarily stupid, they're just addicted. So if they can get clean needles, they may very well do so to avoid getting HIV infections. So maybe a secondary benefit of HIV prevention is being reflected in some of our hepatitis C numbers. But are we seeing a resurgence of IDU-associated HCV? So here are the questions, and here are what you're going to be hearing about. What is the occurrence of HCV and IDUs now? And he asks who's going to tell us a little bit about that from, the NHBS study. How can we prevent new infections? We're not going to be touching on that. We don't have time today. But how can we get, or maybe we can discuss it later, and how can we get HCV-infected persons tested and into care? And I think Aaliyah and Bryce will be touching on those issues. And thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Scott. Okay, next I'd like to introduce Dr. Bryce Smith. Dr. Smith is a health scientist at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and has been with the Division of Viral Hepatitis for 2 years. He currently serves as the team lead for the Prevention Research and Evaluation Team, and his primary areas of research are hepatitis C screening and rapid testing. Bryce?
Excuse me.